Greg Shriver. Speaker, young man from Belleville, Michigan. Brother Nixia Montero. Happy to have him today. Sermon title, Gratitude Enables Happiness in the Lord. Scripture, Psalms 146, verses 1 through 10. Scripture reader, Gary Turnbull. Presiding at the Lord's table, Charles Hopkins, Jr. and Henry Davis, Jr. Closing prayer, Greg Newton. Would you bow with me for a word of prayer? Father, we're thankful for this day, for all the blessings of life, and for every opportunity that we have to serve Thee. Cast our blessings, Father, upon those who are ill at this time, that You would, with Your tender mercy, look upon them, Father, touch them with Your healing hand, if this is Thy holy and divine will. Be with us now, Father, in this service unto Thee. We pray in the name of Jesus. Amen.
First song this morning is 541. Blessed assurance, Jesus is mine. Oh, what a foretaste of glory divine. Heir of salvation, purchased of God. Born of His Spirit, washed in His blood. This is my story, this is my song. Praising my Savior all the day long. This is my story, this is my song. Praising my Savior all the day long. Perfect submission, perfect delight, visions of rapture, now burst on my sight. Angels descending, bring from above, echoes of mercy, whispers of love. This is my story, this is my song. Praising my Savior all the day long. This is my story, this is my song. Praising my Savior all the day long. Perfect submission, all is at rest. I am my Savior and happy and blessed. Watching and waiting, looking above, filled with His goodness, lost in His love. This is my story, this is my song, praising my Savior all the day long. This is my story, this is my song. Praising my Savior all the day long. Oh, this is my story, this is my song. Praising my Savior all the day long. This is my story, this is my song. Praising my Savior all the day long.
Over one page to 542.
Encamped along the hills of life, the Christian soldiers ride and press the battle ere the night shall veil the glowing sky. Against the flowing mills below, let all our strength be hurled. Faith is the victory we know that overcomes the world. Faith is the victory. Faith is the victory. Oh, glorious victory that overcomes the world. His banner over us is love, our sword the word of God. We tread the road the saints of us with shouts of triumph cry. By faith they light a whirlwind breath swept on o'er every field. The faith by which they conquer death is still our shining shield. Faith is the victory. Faith is the victory. Oh, glorious victory that overcomes the world. To him that overcomes the foe, our raiment shall he give. Before the angels he shall know his name confessed in heaven. Then onward from the hills of life, our hearts with love aflame, we'll vanquish all the host of night in Jesus' conquering name. Faith is the victory. Faith is the victory. Oh, glorious victory that overcomes the world.
Let us pray. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you for allowing us to wake up this morning, allowing us to come here for this hour of study and worship. Thank you for all the many blessings you have bestowed upon us, for the gift of life itself. Thank you most of all for that ultimate sacrifice for your Son. Heavenly Father, we ask you to be with those who are not able to attend, those who are on the church sick prayer list. Be with them, give them strength, help uplift them, be with those who are taking care of those who are sick, and help those who are in need, whether it be spiritual, physical, or otherwise. Just help them in only ways that you are able to, Lord. We thank you for all you've done for this congregation. We thank you for our elders, our deacon, those who help in every way make this congregation continue to work in your name and continue to go forward. We ask you to be with those in this state, this country, and this world, Lord, all those who are suffering, those who are going through challenges and troubles and things that most of us can't imagine. Be with them, help uplift them, and give them strength, Lord. Continue to guide, guard, direct us in everything we do. It's in your Son's precious name we do pray. Amen.
Before partaking of the communion service, let's sing number 543. 543, let's do this, the first and last verse. God sent his Son, they call him Jesus. He came to love, heal and forgive. He lived and died to buy my pardon. And yet the grace is there to prove my Savior lives. Because he lives, I can face tomorrow. Because he lives, all fear is gone. Because I know, oh, he holds the future. And life is worth the living just because he lives. And then one day. Across the river, I'll find my path. No more and as yet, his way to victory, I'll see the light of glory and I'll know he lives. Because he lives, I can face tomorrow. Because he lives, all fear is gone. Because I know he holds the future, and life is worth the living just because he lives. Because he lives, I can face tomorrow. Because he lives, all fear is gone. Because I know he holds the future, and life is worth the living just because he lives.
And as Isaiah 53, we read of such a vivid description of the suffering servant. This was told during the times of Isaiah, giving them a glimpse into the future of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. And when you read these verses, you know, it tells of the suffering that he was to endure, the humiliation, and it showed that he opened not his mouth, you know, to ask for mercy, to ask to be saved. But he did this, bore the sins of the world. You know, this didn't happen because of something that he did wrong. But this world was so full of sin, he did it for our salvation. We could not save ourselves. We needed our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ to die for us. And you can just imagine just the amazement people during Isaiah's time to know that there was such a man. The same amazement that we should have today, that we should still have, to know that there was this a man that came along that was willing to give his life. And we know the power that our Lord Jesus had. All he had to do was speak words, and he could have saved himself just by spoken words. But he stayed silent. When he did speak, he said, forgive those that was putting him to death. So as we come together on this first day of the week to partake of the Lord's Supper, now let us clear our minds and let us reflect back on that sacrifice and what it meant to each and every one of us. We have before us, we have the bread which represents his body, and we have the fruit of the vine which represents his blood. So at this time, let us give thanks for the bread. Our most kind and loving Heavenly Father, we're so thankful unto you, Heavenly Father, for giving us this opportunity to come together on this first day of the week, Heavenly Father, to come together in remembrance, to be able to share and partaking of his Lord's Supper with our brothers and sisters in Christ, Heavenly Father, to all take this time to all reflect on that day on that cross, Heavenly Father, when our only begotten Son became that perfect Lamb without spot or blemish, Heavenly Father. And we just pray, Heavenly Father, that as we partake of this bread, that we'll do so in a manner that is pleasing in thy sight, that would honor and glorify thy name. For this we pray for in thy Son Jesus' name. Amen. Amen.
Let's now give thanks for the cup. Our kind and gracious Heavenly Father, who art in heaven, we humbly bow this morning, Father, first and foremost, thanking you for your Son, Jesus, and his great sacrifice made on that Calvary's cross, which he shed his blood that saves. Father, we ask at this time that as we take up this cup, Father, that we do so, that is in a way that is pleasing unto thee. We do this, Father, in the name of your Son, Jesus Christ. Amen.
If anyone has been overlooked during the partaking of the Lord's Supper, you'll raise your hand. Seeing no hands, we have another portion of our worship service, which is giving. We can read in 2 Corinthians 9 and 7, the manner in which we should give. You know, it's always a blessing to be able to look into the scriptures and to understand the reason for giving. No, that's so no one will take issue with what we're about to do, and to know that this is a joyous occasion to be able to give back to show our appreciation for the many wonderful blessings that our Heavenly Father has blessed us with. So let us give thanks for this opportunity to give. Our most kind and loving Heavenly Father, we're so thankful unto you, Heavenly Father, for just giving us life. Heavenly Father, we know you raised us from our beds this morning, Heavenly Father. You allowed us to once again marvel at the beauty of thy creation, Heavenly Father. We know it is you that is shows us love each and every day, Heavenly Father, that guides us, that comforts us, that gets us through so many difficult times, Heavenly Father, that provides so much joy in our lives, Heavenly Father. You give us our will, all our talents, Heavenly Father. You give us the ability to work, Heavenly Father, to be able to provide. We're so thankful, Heavenly Father, for this opportunity to give back a portion of the many blessings that you have blessed us with, Heavenly Father. And we just pray that as we do so, Heavenly Father, that we will do so in a manner that is pleasing according to thy will. For this we ask for in thy Son Jesus' name. Amen.
The song after the lesson this morning will be number 549. 549. Before the lesson in our scripture reading, it's singing number 545. And if you can easily stand, please stand and sing this song. First, second, and fourth verse.
A wonderful Savior is Jesus my Lord. A wonderful Savior to me. He hides my soul in the cleft of a rock, where rivers of pleasure I see. He hides my soul in the cleft of a rock that settles a dry, thirsty land. He hides my life in the depth of his love, and covers me there with his hand, and covers me there with his hand. A wonderful Savior is Jesus my Lord. He taketh my burden away. He holdeth me up, and I shall not be moved. He giveth me strength and my day. He hideth my soul in the cleft of the rock that shadows a dry, thirsty land. He hideth my life in the depth of his love and covers me there with his hand and covers me there with his hand. When cold in his brightness transported I rise to meet him in clouds of God. His perfect salvation
His wonderful love, I'll shout with a million times. He hides my soul in the cleft of the rock that shadows on dry, thirsty land. He hides my life in the depth of His love and covers me there with His hand. And covers me there with His hand. He hides my soul in the cleft of the rock that shadows up my thirsty land. He hides my life in the depth of His love and covers me there with His hand. And covers me there with His hand.
Can you please?
Good morning, everybody. Just want everybody to know Denise's having a blast out in Arizona with her daughter, walking around in shorts, you know, enjoying not missing me and the dogs, but that's okay. Today's scripture lesson is Psalms 146, 1 through 10. Praise the Lord. Yes, really praise Him. I will praise Him as long as I live. Yes, even with my dying breath. Don't look to men for help. Their greatest leaders fail, for every man must die. His breathing stops, life ends, and in a moment all he planned for himself is ended. But happy is the man who has the God of Jacob as his helper, whose hope is in the Lord, his God. The God who made both earth and heaven, the seas and everything in them. He is the God who keeps every promise and gives justice to the poor and oppressed and food to the hungry. He frees the prisoners and opens the eyes of the blind. He lifts the burdens from those bent down beneath their loads. For the Lord loves good men. He protects the immigrants and cares for all the orphans and widows. But He turns topsy-turvy the plans of the wicked. The Lord will reign forever, O Jerusalem. Your God is King. In every generation, hallelujah, praise the Lord. And now we receive the word.
I'd like to thank Brother Turnbull for reading all that. I was wondering who was going to get the heavy scripture assignment this morning. I'd like to say good morning to everyone and offer a special welcome to all of our visitors that we have here in attendance with us this morning. It's a great opportunity to be able to worship God with visitors, and we always want to make sure that we welcome you and extend that invitation to you. I know this past week here was Thanksgiving, our holiday in the U.S. I hope everybody had a good Thanksgiving holiday. I've been fortunate in the past here to be given the opportunity to speak around Thanksgiving time, and in years past, I think I spoke a little bit about the history of Thanksgiving and specific examples and accounts of people in the scripture that showed or practiced Thanksgiving specifically to the Lord in that particular context. This time I thought might take things in a bit of a different direction as we're in the holiday season, so to speak. I think the most wonderful time of the year, as the world refers to it. So I thought we'd speak for a few moments this morning and look at a few passages of Scripture, specifically Scriptures that speak on the underlying emotion of thanksgiving, which is being thankful, or maybe put with another synonym there, gratitude. And the context this morning would be how being thankful to others, but specifically to the Lord, is actually what forms the underlying basis of the sustainable happiness that we're all searching for as humans, and how we already got it for those that are our followers of Christ. Going back to the most wonderful time of the year now, this is a time of year which I enjoy. I think most do. It's time that a lot of folks, even those that maybe aren't affiliated with the church, they're just a little bit more cheerful this time of year. The wait in that drive-through line or the grocery store line just doesn't seem quite as long for those people. People smile a little bit more. They just got a little bit more cheer, a little bit more joy right now. Even that boss that you can't stand or the coworker gets on your last nerve, they're not even that bad this time of year. You know how that goes. So, some folks have better years than others at this time, right? It's often a time of reflection, but even those that maybe aren't as cheerful or have had some unexpected trials and tribulations, even for those folks, this time of year could be therapeutic and healing. You know, King Solomon, who's considered to be one of the wisest men in all the Scriptures, well, he even wrote in the Old Testament book of Proverbs, chapter 17 and verse 22, "A merry heart does good like medicine, but a broken spirit dries the bones." For the world, I think this is usually the traditional time to be happy, but really, if you kind of think in the context of Christians and being followers of Christ, our happy time of the year really is all year, isn't it? Should be every day, especially on Sundays. We get to fellowship with our fellow brothers and sisters in Christ. Want to read another passage here. King Solomon, he wrote there in the book of Proverbs, chapter 15 and verse 13, "A merry heart makes a cheerful countenance, but by sorrow of the heart, the spirit is broken." And this kind of pulls into focus, I think, what I wanted to focus our time on this morning, and that's that sustainable happiness in the Lord, and gratitude being the key to actually unlock that sustainable happiness. That's really something I think any human looks for, right? We're all trying to make sure we have a level set in terms of mental and emotional health. But as Christians, we have the advantage of understanding the promise of salvation that's uniquely extended to being a follower of Christ. I wanted to next focus on a few epistles. And if you still got your Bibles open, mark there what Brother Turnbull read, because we're going to come back to that there in Psalm. But if you would, turn over to Philippians chapter 4. In verses 4 through 7, we're going to go through a couple of epistles this morning. The Apostle Paul, he actually expresses the same sentiment there that we just read from King Solomon. I've got it written down here, but I'm actually going to go to it myself and just read it from the Scriptures. So that would be Philippians chapter 4 and verses 4 through 7. "Rejoice in the Lord always. Again, I will say rejoice. Let your gentleness be known to all men. The Lord is at hand. Be anxious for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. And there, brethren, I think really provides some context for the source of the rejoicing. Understanding here is that, you know, we're all going to have anxiousness. I think that's a part of human nature. But really, as we work to grow and build our faith, we could turn all that over to the Lord. We could still rejoice even in those trying times there. We can ask for help. Let your request be made known to God. And even if we don't understand it, well, the Lord can help us get through it. I'll just read the next one here. To the church in Thessalonica of the Thessalonian people, Paul wrote in 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verses 16 through 19, "Rejoice always, pray without ceasing, in everything give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus for you." We've got there the same verbs that we've been talking about, rejoice, right next to give thanks. And you'll find that in numerous verses, numerous epistles, because one of the primary sources that we have as Christians for our happiness is recognizing all that the Lord has done for us, and thus rejoicing and being thankful, expressing gratitude for that. And I'm driving this home a little bit because I think oftentimes to be happy, you know, we focus on some of the materialism aspects and forget that the actual source of sustainable happiness as Christian people isn't maybe what we've been blessed with materially. And I'm going to touch on that here in a second. In the Epistle to the Romans, so the book of Romans, and if you turn there with me, we're going to read a couple more verses. I had three examples here from the Apostle Paul. This will be Romans chapter 5 and 1 through 4. It's another epistle with the same theme. That's Romans chapter 5, 1 through 4. "Therefore, having been justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom also we have access by faith into this grace in which we stand, and rejoice in hope of the glory of God. And not only that, but we also glory in tribulations, knowing that tribulation produces perseverance, and perseverance, character, and character, hope." I think some of the ones we talked about so far haven't necessarily looked at the tribulation aspect, and we've got verses for that, but it's eye-opening here, church, that the Apostle Paul is writing to the saints in Rome, that we actually, as Christians, should be able to find joy and rejoice in the hope and glory of God, even through the tribulations, the trials, the unexpected things that come up from time to time. You know, it's easy to be happy when things are going good, you know, when you're able to finally get that new car or get a big job or promotion. But that's not really what the Apostle Paul's talking about here. In fact, he's saying that the joy that we have is because some of the problems that we encounter are actually help us grow our faith as Christians, knowing that tribulation produces perseverance, and perseverance character, and character hope. And I think it really comes into an aspect here. You know, I think the joy for this time of year for most people is unfortunately, at least for a good chunk of society now, it's in the materialism aspects of the season in terms of what can I get, or more importantly, what's somebody going to get me, right? But as Christians, the source of sustainable happiness isn't going to be the items that you can procure. I read an interesting article published several years back in the Wall Street Journal, and the article was titled Thanksgiving and Gratitude, the Science of Happier Holidays. And I wanted to call attention to a few points in this article because there's a lot of parallels with what we're reading from what the so-called science deemed in the article published there by the journal. So I'm going to read, guys, again, I don't take credit for this, and I have it cited here in my sermon, but a couple of interesting points, takeaways that the writers were discussing here. The first one is that materialistic people tend to be less happy than their peers. They experience fewer positive emotions, are less satisfied with life, and suffer higher levels of anxiety, depression, and in some cases, substance abuse. Now, the authors further flesh out that the reason for this, or the reasons that they offer, is that this is because gratitude and materialism, so kind of two separate characteristics here, gratitude and materialism generally share an inverse relationship in the human mind, meaning that as the focus, practice, observance on one of these traits increases, generally, necessarily, the relationship or the focus on the other must decrease, so an inverse relationship. So why are gratitude and materialism opposing forces in the mind? According to Robert Emmons, who was a pioneer in the study of gratitude and a psychology professor at the University of California, gratitude involves acknowledging the good things in our lives, from the beauty of the autumn leaves to the generosity of friends to a taste of the good meal that we all hopefully enjoyed, recognizing the other people or the forces that made those, maybe what we think about or refer to as fleeting moments in life, possible. Gratitude helps us savor the good in our lives rather than taking it for granted, and more importantly, than the constant cycle of the yearning for what's next to come in terms of materialism. I want to stop here for a second because the idea of appreciating the good or small moments in life is really another core tenet of happiness in the scripture. The Bible refers to it a lot of times as being content or contentment. You could preach a whole set of series, I think, on contentment, but I did want to call to attention one verse because, again, this is what the journal was saying in terms of a study of the scientific mind, and it's I think very apt at what we're studying because it's basically what the Bible's been telling folks for 2,000 years in terms of how expressing gratitude is that sustainable source for happiness. So the Apostle Paul wrote to the saints in Philippi in Philippians chapter 4, verses 11 through 13, "Not that I speak in regard to need, for I have learned in whatever state I am to be content. I know how to be abased, and I know how to abound. Everywhere and in all things, I have learned both to be full and to be hungry, both to abound and to suffer need." And then 4:13, which is pretty well known, "I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me." So I thought it was a good parallel, too, for those that had a chance to take class this morning. Our brother Baldwin brought up how a lot of time man likes to take credit for science and discoveries, but oftentimes, as in this case from what we've read, the Apostle Paul wrote it in his epistles long before this article published in the journal, and King Solomon had even years and years before that. But there was two last points I wanted to call attention to in the article. So read a few things there. Contentment was one of them, as well as the inverse relationship between materialism and gratitude, which is the same thing the Apostle Paul wrote, just in a little bit of a different phrasing. One of the traps of materialism, by contrast, is that it locates the source or the sources of happiness in shiny new things. Research suggests that, this is from the article, that materialistic people have unrealistically high expectations for the amount of happiness that material goods will bring them. When those expectations inevitably go unmet, they invest their hopes for happiness in the next thing, and the next thing, and the next thing after that, and on and so forth in a fruitless pursuit, as the article refers to it. On the other hand, practicing gratitude means appreciating the good that other people bring to their daily lives. And it's why this Dr. Emmons refers to gratitude as a relationship-strengthening emotion. Strong relationships, as the research suggests, is one of the most important ingredients to a happy life. Now, I think the context of the article here is probably talking about our relationships with fellow man, but I think it surely applies to our relationship with our Father God as well. Meaning, of course, that the more gratitude we expect, we showcase, the more thankfulness we're able to exhibit for the little things that we've been blessed with, instead of wanting to count big blessings or thinking that it's just this new car that matters or this bigger house, we're actually able to appreciate as what the article refers to as the fleeting things of life, what we refer to all the time in worship as those blessings, the ones that are too numerous to count, you know, the ones about having a warm bed to wake up in this morning, or a warm meal in your belly before you go to bed, the ability to even walk and breathe, all the little things that we as Christians know that we have to give thanks to the Lord for, because all things flow from Him. Wanted to call out another verse here. This one's from Solomon. He wrote it in the Old Testament book of Ecclesiastes, chapter 5, verses 10 through 11. It's the same thing that this article was saying. He who loves silver will not be satisfied with silver, not he who loves abundance with increase. This also is vanity. Verse 11, when goods increase, they increase who eat them. So what profit have the owners except to see them with their eyes? Verse 11 there is the Bible way of saying the human phrase, more money, more problems. When goods increase, they increase who eat them. So what profit have the owners except to see them with their eyes? So I read this article a few years back. I just remember seeing so many scriptural parallels in it. Yet it just called to attention what Brother Baldwin mentioned in class for those that were in there about a lot of the scientific cores and tenets that you see are actually in the scripture, and sometimes by thousands of years in advance. So I found that to be really interesting, that everything the article was saying was what the Bible has been telling man for many, many years. I do just want to clarify, too, though, that there's nothing wrong with setting goals or wanting to better yourself. That's not the context of what we're looking at this morning. There's a difference between setting a goal for self-improvement versus hinging your total happiness on your ability to acquire new items. And that's the materialism aspect of what we're talking about this morning. So as followers of Christ, brothers and sisters, we got to be careful that we're not among those people that are saying, well, you know, if I just get that new car like Mr. Jones has, well, I'll be happy then. Or if I can get the bigger house like so-and-so has down the street, I'll be good. Or if I could just get this, you know, one more thing, because that's what King Solomon was just writing to us. He who loves silver will not be satisfied with silver. It's a never-ending cycle if you're hinging your happiness on the materialism aspects of the world. Not he who loves abundance with increase. This also is vanity. That's exactly what King Solomon was writing to us there in Ecclesiastes, and it's exactly what the authors of this study and this article we're talking about there that we just read. Want to call a point, I think this is the last big one here. Want to call attention to one further point here, and this one's from the New Testament book of James. And we touched on this before, but I wanted to expound upon it for a moment. You know, it's easy for us to be happy, even happy in the Lord, when things are going good in our lives. I think it's always easier to express joy when things are going good, but that actually isn't the only time we should be expressing joy as Christians. So James chapter 1 and verses 2 through 5, I just wanted to read a couple of verses there. And these all help to provide context in terms of our sustainable happiness as Christians should not and is not built on the material aspects of the material blessings that we might receive. James chapter 1 and verses 2 through 5 there. My brethren, count it all joy when you fall into various trials, knowing that the testing of your faith produces patience. But let patience have its perfect work, that you may be perfect and complete, lacking nothing. If any of you lacks wisdom, let him ask of God, who gives to all liberally and without reproach, and it will be given to him. So here, James is actually telling us that we as Christians can even find joy, can even find happiness when we're going through trials. So not even on the sunny days, so to speak, but on the rainy days. And how is that possible then? Because that's not how the world does it. And that goes back to the underlying source of our happiness in life as followers of Christ. It isn't hinging on the things that the world looks at, whether it be the amount of money in your bank account or what you're driving or where you're living. And again, I'm not saying there's anything wrong with setting goals or wanting to better yourself, but that's a completely different dichotomy here than we're talking about hinging your source of happiness on those things. Because we find here, James is actually telling us we can find joy even in the trials of life. Now, I don't know of anybody in the world that really tells you that. And that is because the source of our happiness as Christians really ought to be and is gratitude to the Lord. And in that context, even on the dark days, brothers and sisters, even on the trials and tribulations, even when that coworker is getting on your last nerve after the holiday season, we could still get through it and we could still find joy as Christians. And finally, we're going to read real quick Romans chapter 8 and verse 28. And we know that all things work together for good to those who love God, to those who are called according to His purpose, and followers of Christ should be able to take solace in this, to find joy when we face trials, because we know ultimately, as we just read Romans 8:20, that all these things will work together for good to those who love God, to those who are called according to His purpose. And this is the last, finally, I'm getting it right this time. I did want to pull us back to that Psalm 146 that we read at the beginning. I'm going to read a couple of sections of this for context. Praise the Lord, praise the Lord, O my soul. While I live, I will praise the Lord. I will sing praises to my God while I have my being. Let's drop down to verse 5 for a moment. Happy is he who has the God of Jacob for his help, whose hope is in the Lord his God. So this psalm started off with praising the Lord, expressing gratitude, and we eventually get to that happiness there in verse 5. That happiness which is the sustainable happiness that Christians acquire by expressing their gratitude for the Lord and being a member of His body, a member of His church. And if you ever need a reason, or you're feeling low, or you're wondering why you should be thankful, well, the rest of this psalm is perfect because it fills in all the blanks here. Who made heaven and God, made heaven and earth, verse 6, the sea, all that's in them, who keeps truth forever, who executes justice for the oppressed. This whole psalm is filled with praising the Lord, being happy from it, and then providing you in between all the reasons in the middle as to why you should. So it's really a great psalm for the context of what we're discussing this morning. And so as kind of wrap up here, we'll offer the invitation momentarily. Is you know, we're in this time of year where the world's very happy. And it is in that aspect, because you do see a lot of happiness and a lot of cheer. We have to be sure as Christians that we're expressing the joy for our happiness every day, which isn't based on the calendar year of our calendar of month that we fall in, but it's based on the underlying joy that we're uniquely able to express because we're followers of Christ. We constantly express that gratitude, and that gratitude is the source of sustainable happiness for the Lord. And that's something that we can get all year round. You don't even have to wait for the most wonderful time of the year, quote unquote. So I think that we could take great confidence and happiness in that as Christians this morning. And, you know, something that, so to speak, we can use that to spread our holiday cheer all year round, even outside of the month of December. And so with that this morning, we may have folks that are still trying to find that source of sustainable happiness that that Christians have to enjoy. Maybe folks that have never put on Christ through baptism. Maybe those that that have and kind of wandered away like the parable of the prodigal son there and got lost. Well, you can find your happiness again. You can come back to that source of sustainable happiness in the Lord. So how do you put on Christ, maybe, for those that don't? Well, first you have to hear Romans 10:17, so then faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. You have to believe. Mark 16:16, he who believes and is baptized will be saved. Repent, Acts 2:38. The Apostle Peter speaking, repent and let every one of you be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost, Holy Spirit, New King James. Confess, Romans 10:9, that if you confess with your mouth and believe in your heart that God has raised him from the dead, you will be saved. And finally, as we just read Mark 16:16, you have to be submerged in that watery grave of baptism. Brother Baldwin also brought up class too, when you leave that old man behind in sin, don't go looking for him again. You got your source of sustainable happiness. You're able to do that. So you don't want to go back and hinge on those material things. Finally, we have to live faithfully. Must live our lives dedicated to God, not continuing in sin, but walking in newness of life. And that's Romans 6:1-4. And so this morning, brothers and sisters, we have that opportunity to continue to express our gratitude, that opportunity to receive that sustainable happiness in our Lord and Savior. And most importantly, brothers and sisters, we have that opportunity all year round, and I think it's important that we remember that as Christians. You know, where is that ultimate source of sustainable happiness? And that's in expressing gratitude to our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. So as we have that opportunity at this time, if there is anyone in need, let's come down and sit on the first pews. Together we stand and sing.
I know the Lord will find a way for me. I know the Lord will find a way for me. If I fall in heaven's light, shun the wrong and do the right. I know the Lord will find a way for me. The Lord has said, go preach the word to all the world. The Lord has said, go preach the word to all the world. If I walk in heaven's light, shun the wrong and do the right, I know the Lord will find a way for me. Won't it be grand to hear him say, well done? Won't it be grand to hear